Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I want to invite you to open your scriptures to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs in the middle of your scriptures. Proverbs chapter 10, you may note from your handout that I'll probably have you turning to several passages. And the message is designed in that fashion here today to look at several of those different passages of Scripture. Well, happy Mother's Day. For many today is just that, happy. For many others, Mother's Day is anything but happy. Mother's Day hurts. Many people credit the founding of Mother's Day to a single woman named Anna Jarvis. Anna evidently made it no secret that she got the idea for Mother's Day from her own mother. Her mother, the elder Jarvis, if I can say it that way, certainly had her experiences of tragedy in motherhood. She bore 13 children, but only 4 of them lived to adulthood. She lived in the Appalachian region where 15 to 30% of babies died in the first year. They say that that was largely due to epidemics spread by poor sanitary conditions. 4 children lived to adulthood. Some suggest that it was the elder Jarvis who wanted to organize days in which mothers could get help, mothers could get teaching that would help them to be the mothers that they needed to be and wanted to be. And so her vision for it was that they would be Mother's Day work clubs, as it were, days where mothers could get together and work on being mothers. After her death in 1905, her daughter Anna vowed to fulfill her dream and organized what many considered to be the first Mother's Day, May 10th, 1908. And after that, in the ensuing years, she worked tirelessly to help establish Mother's Day and to see it take root in American culture. As it did so, though, she noticed, as I'm sure you have as well, that florists and candy makers make lots of money. And I believe those who studied her life say that she began to struggle and resent the fact that they were making all of this money and she was getting none of the credit for it. She resented that. Some even go to suggest that she did much fighting in order to get the credit as being the lady who founded Mother's Day, and that may have led to the reason that she died in 1948, blind, broken, and in a sanatorium to try to nurse her back to health. If the New York Times is right in making these suggestions, then for Anna Jarvis, the very founder of Mother's Day, it certainly wasn't always a very happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day hurt. I believe as a pastor and as a Christian, very firmly believe that a day to honor our mothers is something that is a very biblical thing. No mother is perfect, but we're still called to honor our mother and our father. And I believe it's an important thing that we do so. However, as I've mentioned before, I am becoming more tuned in to the pain that some experience on Mother's Day. So today I want to preach a message that I've entitled, When Mother's Day Hurts. And I want to preach this message because my heart does hurt for those people, some may be perhaps even in this room, whose heart hurts on Mother's Day. I want you to know today that we care about you at our church. I want you to know that we sympathize with the pains that you bear. I want to be an encouragement to you. And my goal is to be that. Forgive me if I'm not, but certainly that is my goal, that is my prayer, that is my desire today, to be an encouragement and to just be a help. Obviously, I'm not a mother, nor have I been down all of the paths that everyone who is hurting in regards to Mother's Day certainly has been down those paths. But I believe that this book, the Word of God, has something to be an encouragement to us in this unusual message on Mother's Day, when Mother's Day hurts. And I want to challenge you with this one truth today. You must go to God when Mother's Day hurts. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for you, that you care about us, you love us in the times of our lives. Well, all the time, but especially we need to be reminded of it in the times when there's pain and there's hurt there. for one reason or another. I pray that you'd help me by your Spirit to be a loving encouragement with your word and guide all of us to direct our eyes and our attention to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me tell you, the Bible does speak to this issue. No, so far as I have read it, I haven't found the expression Mother's Day in the Bible. But it does speak to this issue. It does record for us many who are hurting for some reason in connection with mothers. The Bible is so true to life, isn't it? The Bible is something that records principles that we can live out in everyday life. It shows what life is like in this wretched, sin-filled, sin-cursed world. It doesn't cover over all of that, but it shows us and it reminds us of what real life is like. It shows people, real people, going through some of the same heartaches and some of the same pains that you and I have experienced. And the Bible, I believe, is really refreshing in that it doesn't just gloss over those things and turn a blind eye and ignore those things. No, it pulls out the furniture and exposes the dirt that's been there as we haven't swept there. It opens the newspaper to the police blotter to show what humanity is like. It goes to the homes and the hearts of the broken and acknowledges the pain that is present there. And I love this book for that. All of us have pains at different times, and we can go to this book and have it speak to our hearts and minister to us in our hurts. And I want you to see just briefly here, the first portion of this message here, 7 biblical reasons why it might hurt on Mother's Day. One of them we find here in Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Number 1, a mother's child may not be doing right. Here it talks about a foolish son being the heaviness of his mother. There's that hurt there. A mother's child may not be doing right. Proverbs 15 and verse 20 nearby says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. If you're a mom that loves the Lord at all, you want to see your kids loving the Lord. And we're human, and they are human, and choices are made that lead down a wrong path. And Mother's Day hurts when a child is not doing right. And today, we want you to know, no one looks down on anyone in that situation here. We love you, and we want you to know that we assure you of our prayers for you and for your child, and our hearts ache and break in that regard. Go over to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and we see a second one. The Bible describes in this sense of when Mother's Day hurts. Proverbs 23, 22. Proverbs 23, 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Not only may a child not be doing right, but number 2, a mother's child may not be treating her right. It's interesting how Scripture often connects 1 and 2, not always, but often connects number 1 and number 2. Child who is not living right often becomes a child who is not treating mom and dad right. And the Scripture brings out the importance in Ephesians 6:2 of children honoring their father and their mother. And few things are as painful as being disrespected. When you're disrespected, the Hebrew idea of being a little, sometimes being treated as nothing, as opposed to what was honored was something that was weighty and valuable here. And so when someone is despised, they're treated as little in that regard here. And it hurts. When you're walked all over, when what you have taught has been rejected at times there, you feel despised. And what a pain that is. And today we stand with you and we care about you and God cares about you as well. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27, the first book of the Bible. We'll see a third one. I'll try to slow down in the second portion of Scripture as far as having you turn. But here I just briefly want you to touch on these because I want you to see that the Bible speaks to this issue. Genesis 27 and verse number 46. Genesis 27 and verse number 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And here is number 3, a mother's child's spouse may not be right. Here, Rebekah is speaking. She's got two boys, Esau and Jacob, and Esau has chosen some daughters. And the wording that Rebekah describes here, have you noticed the wording in that verse at the beginning and at the end? I'm weary of my life, and what good shall my life do to me? Those are strong words. Those are words coming from a soul of incredible heartache and heartbreak here. Sometimes spouses don't get along with in-laws. We're not here to point blame and to solve all of the issues and different things like that, but sometimes there can be a challenge here in that regard. So that can bring a great deal of pain. And the Bible gives an example of a lady who was in that situation here. Ruth, you don't have to turn there because we read it in our scriptures earlier, but number four, a mother's child may already be buried. We read the story in Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 5. We read of Naomi, and here is Naomi. And first of all, she loses her husband so that she's a widow. And then she has two boys that get married. But ultimately, her own two sons, she buries them. Things like premature death, suicide, an accident, a stillbirth, a miscarriage. No doubt on days such as this, these things have to be on the minds of mothers. And Naomi, so much so, carried this weight that when she comes back into town, Naomi's name means something like delight. And people would say to Naomi, they would say, oh, there's Naomi. Here she is. We haven't seen you in a while, that type of thing. And she was in essence saying, don't call me a delight anymore. Call me Mara, which referred to bitterness. There was a pain and a bitterness and an agony in her soul here. She'd been through incredible tragedy in bearing a husband and bearing two of her own children here. No doubt Naomi hurt in a way that some of us can only imagine, but in a way that several of us can very vividly understand and relate to. Mother's child may already be buried. Let's go back to 1 Samuel then if we can. We'll look at a fifth one here. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We'll see a fifth one. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The Bible speaks to these. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, this is the story of Hannah in verse number 6. And her, that's Hannah's adversary, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Let's look at verse number 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore about this matter. Number 5, a woman may not be able to have children. That can be a source of great pain. Listen, have you ever noticed how many different times in Scripture this is referenced? We read here of Hannah, but Abraham's wife, Sarah, was in that category. Rebecca, we read about her, she was there. Rachel was there. Samson's mom was there. Elizabeth in the New Testament was there. And these women wept and struggled and prayed and waited and hurt. And today, maybe for one reason or another, Mother's Day hurts for you because of this reason. The Lord loves you and we love you too. Let's go to Esther. As you continue to progress through the Old Testament here, Esther chapter number 2. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Esther chapter number 2. Esther is a famous queen in the Bible. God uses her in an amazing way. She is God's hand, God's tool that He uses to spare the Jewish people. The human instrument that God uses through Esther, setting her up as the queen of the whole empire and in a miraculous sort of way. Working so many things behind the scenes to make all of this happen. It's a marvelous story to read. But did you know the background that Esther came from? Esther chapter 2 and verse number 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Number 6, a child's mom is gone. Child's mother has passed away. Queen Esther had lost both of her parents. And for some, Mother's Day hurts because they miss Mom. They were close. Mom passed away prematurely. Mom was always there. And now Mom isn't. And Mother's Day is something that brings that to mind afresh and anew, that void, that emptiness, that longing, that missing that they have for Mom. A child's mom is gone. But then we go back to 1 Kings chapter 15. If you'll just turn back to this one more in this portion of the message here. 1 Kings chapter number 15. And here the scripture records the story of King Asa. King Asa was the great-grandson of King Solomon. He was a king of Judah here. And Asa, as he's starting out, he's trying to be a godly king, and he's trying to do some things that are right here, leading his country in the right direction here. 1 Kings 15, 13, if you're there, I'll read it. It says, "And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron." Asa here, in reference to his mother, it's possible she could have been his grandmother, certainly that motherly figure in that aspect of his life here. And Asa is trying to do what's right and lead his nation in the right direction. And his own mother or grandmother here establishes an idol in a grove where people can worship in that direction instead of worshiping the one true God. Can you imagine what it must have been like in Asa's heart to try to be saying, "I want to serve God, I want to live for God," and Mom doesn't, and Mom isn't interested in this sorts of thing here. How he must have agonized. What am I going to do about this? Lord, show me what I should do. What steps should I take here? She's the royal mom, the royal grandmother, something like that here in this. What am I going to do in this? And he steps up and he removes her from being queen. That was a bold step. How it must have hurt him in his heart and life to be in that position. Number 7, a child's mom did wrong. And there can be times when on Mother's Day, it's the child thinking about the mother, and the mother didn't do everything right. No mother is perfect. They think of mistakes. They think of failures. They think of things that Mom didn't do right here. Messed up. Poor choices that are made. And so when it comes to Mother's Day, it's the child that is hurting. The child hurting because either Mom is gone, number 6, or because Mom did wrong, number 7 here. And so as we look at the scripture, we've seen 7, and maybe there are some others that I haven't even had opportunity to mention here today, in which when we talk about happy Mother's Day to someone, it's anything but happy. Instead, Mother's Day hurts. There can be some pain. And my desire today is not to be a downer on all of us for Mother's Day, but rather my desire is to show love and concern for those folks who have been in great pain and in great hurt and in great agony, and also to show that we love you and to show you that God loves you and to be a great encouragement to you today as well. Dania Veers is 31. She's a PhD student. She seems accomplished in her life. She's probably a sharp woman in the world. She notes that for many, Mother's Day can be a tough day. For her, one of the hardest things is simply seeing people at the Mother's Day time of year with their mom. Because her mom is gone. And she'll never be able to do that again. She'll never be able to just pick up the phone and just unload on Mom and say, "Mom, this is the struggle that I've been having. These are the difficulties that I've been going through. What do you think, Mom?" And just have Mom on the other end of the phone. She'll never be able to just swing by and pick up Mom or meet her at the coffee shop and be able to just talk. And so when she thinks of Mother's Day and she just sees people with their moms, there's pain and there's hurt that is there. And for Dania, part of the struggle is all of the promotion that goes into it. I mean, we're talking about a week or two in which you just walk into Walmart to get your groceries. You just walk into Walmart to get your essentials, and there's flowers and signs and all this promotion, and it's right in front of her. It's right in front of her face. You turn on the radio and you hear ads about buying chocolates and flowers for Mom as well, and it's just constantly in her face here. So Dania is reminded more and more that Mom is gone. And how does Dania handle it? In Dania's life, Dania handles it by going on a Mother's Day fun run. Evidently, they participated in this run that raises money and raises awareness for breast cancer. It was something that they had done. And so she did it in her life with her mom before, and she does it now as a way of remembering her mom. Clementine Ford says that she handles the hurt of Mother's Day the same as everyday life. She says, I allow myself to feel the hurts and to feel the happinesses when they come. She said in her life that she's just grateful that she had her mother at all. And as she thinks about these things in her life, one of the ways that she handles it is by turning to social media. And she thinks about people who are going through hurt and going through pain and struggling through the hurts and the pains of Mother's Day. And she tries to offer encouragement. She tries to stand with them and show that she's there for them in that regard. And that's one of the ways that she handles it. How do you handle the hurt of Mother's Day? How do you handle if there's that pain and that agony that is there? And there may be some practical things. There may be some tangible things that you can do, but I would suggest today that one of the greatest things that you can do is come to this book and look to God. And I want to challenge you with that. In the closing time that we have, I want you to see several mothers in the Word of God and how they look to God, how God took care of them, how God interacted with them. And today, it may be that you're a mother that hurts, or you may be a child that hurts in regard to that. And I want you to see that on Mother's Day, when it hurts, you must realize four things. Can I show those four things to you? Let's go to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7, and we'll see the first one. As we go to the Gospels, Luke chapter 7. Have you ever been driving down the road, and as you're driving down the road, you're going somewhere. No doubt you're in a hurry. You're probably late. You're probably tempted to be speeding at the moment. And right in front of you pulls out a funeral procession. The officer pulls out there, or the car that stops the traffic, you know, and the funeral procession comes out. There's about 400 cars, and you're waiting for all of them. Is it something for you, and I probably shouldn't be lighthearted about that, but is it something that at times we struggle to really care? You know, the respectful thing to do is to pull over to the side of the road and let them go through and be respectful. They've experienced a loss here. They're mourning. At times, is it something, though, that we really, you know, we got places to go, we're behind, we're late, we got things to do, and now this, and I'm going to be even more late. Is it something that we struggle to really have that care and concern? Jesus Christ experienced something like that. The Bible tells us he's walking up to the gate one day, and as he walks out, out comes a funeral procession. What's his response? I'm late. Got things to do. Was that his response? Luke chapter number 7, and we come to verse number 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Let me just stop there. Understand the significance of what's going on here. This is a funeral procession, and there's several levels of this here. As he knows what is the situation with this person that has died, this verse tells us that he is the only son. There's no other sons in the family. Nobody else to take care of this lady. And on top of it here, she is a widow. This woman is left with nothing. This woman has no man to care for her. She has no sons to care for her. In a very real sense, humanly speaking, in connection with family here, she is now alone in this world because of what has just happened. And how did Jesus Christ responding to this woman who has now not only lost her husband, but the unthinkable in life, that one would have to bury their own child? That's not something we anticipate. If I can carefully say that, that's not normal what we would expect to happen here. And now she's having to do this, and now she's going to be alone. What is Jesus' response here, verse 13? And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Number one, God cares. And the rest of this story brings out how he raised that boy from the grave. Because he cares. And what an awesome thing it is that Jesus stopped and Jesus cared. Today you may be going through a situation in which there is great hurt and you feel like nobody cares. You're a mom and your heart is crying out here and the kids don't seem to care. You're a lady and you're in this situation and nobody seems to notice. Everybody else is happy Mother's Day. Everybody else is smiling. Everybody else is happy. And there's a heartache and there's a heartbreaking inside of you for this reason. You're a child and your heart is breaking as you think about whatever the situation is in regard to your mom here. And you feel like nobody else cares. And this passage reminds me that God cares. God sees and God feels and God knows about this here. He knows perhaps how some may be dreading to come to church this whole week. He knows the pain, how painful it may be for some not to get a card or flowers or a phone call. He knows maybe the challenges of family situations here. God knows and God cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Somebody is interested in you. Somebody cares. Mom might not be interested in you. The kids might not be interested in you. But Jesus is. And He cares. It all starts, our salvation, our Christian life all starts with this, God's great love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you ever wonder if God really loves me, the Bible says the greatest demonstration and proof of that is found in the fact that God the Father gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross because I'm a sinner, because you're a sinner, because the whole world are sinners. He gave His Son to pay the price for our sins there. That is incredible and great love. Has there been a time in which you've realized that I'm a sinner and Jesus loved me so much that He died on the cross for me and I must put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins? God loves and God cares. In other places in the Gospel of John, we read that when a friend of Jesus died and when Jesus saw the pain of the family and those that were around Him in regard to that death, the Bible records Jesus wept because He cares. Hebrews 2 and verse number 17 says that it was right that in all things He should be made like unto human beings so He can be a merciful and faithful high priest. He took on humanity. He took on flesh, as it were, so that He knows what we're going through. If you read the Scriptures, you understand that Jesus knows what it is to have a friend die. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected. Jesus knows what it is for His family to reject Him, to believe differently than He did. He knows and He cares. Many years ago, there was a mother and her son who were, in a sense, tossed out on the street. It was the tragic story of the love triangle. The man was a married man. She, a single girl. And soon she was expecting. Everything went well for several years, till all of a sudden the married man's wife was expecting. All of a sudden now she and her son are tossed out with little more than bread and water. They're tossed out in a day and time in which there weren't a bunch of programs to help folks. There weren't a bunch of other churches that could help. In fact, the area where they lived was rather sparsely populated. It was a long distance to anybody else that could help. And to make matters worse, it was a climate that was very hot and very dry here. They had a little bit to eat and a little bit of water. They wandered around. They're walking around. They have no place to go. Their life and everything that they've known for the last several years is gone in a short amount of time here. They wander around out in the heat, and before long, their water bottles are empty. I think that we find it hard to even imagine to be in this condition, but the mother takes her young son and just tries to find some little bit of shade out in this hot climate, finds a shrub to hide under, a little bush to hide under, literally thinking he's going to die. I don't want to watch him die. And she leaves him there and she goes over here and she sits down and cries and cries and cries. I can't imagine thinking I'm so thirsty, my child's so thirsty that he's going to die of dehydration here. We think that he is dying there, but in essence, the Bible tells us he is also, maybe he was dying, but he's also praying. And God hears the prayer of Ishmael. And God has a message for his mother. God speaks to that mother, Hagar, with this incredible message in Genesis 21:17. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Because God cares. He cared about a woman who was hurting. He cared about a mother who was hurting in regard to her child. And I want you to know that God cares about you today and all the hurts and all the pains that you may experience. God cares. But the second truth that we have to see is this: God hears. We've already read this passage, and so you need not turn there. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we read about Hannah and how Hannah didn't have any children. And she was provoked and agitated by others in regard to that. And so she goes to God and she cries out to God. She prays to God. She fasts. She's focused in on crying out to God. And God hears. And the Bible tells us this over and over again, that it happened in real life. God heard the prayers of that real boy named Ishmael in regard to him and his mother, and he answered. God heard the prayers of a real mother named Rebecca, who was struggling because something was going on inside of her as she was carrying twins. God heard those prayers. God hears the prayers of someone who follows Psalm 55:22, to cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. God hears the prayer of someone who fulfills 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God hears the prayer of the mother who practices 1 John 5:16 in praying for that wayward child and asking God to give spiritual life. God hears. God hears the prayers of that woman who cries out to God and just pours out her heart about the disappointments and the desires that aren't accomplished and aren't fulfilled in that way. And there may be times in which a mom could feel like she could talk till she's blue in the face and the kids won't listen. Or the kids could feel like they could talk till they're blue in the face and mom won't listen. But listen, let me tell you, God is listening. And God hears. And God cares. He hears when you're brokenhearted about losing mom. And He hears when you cry out to Him about a miscarriage. And He hears when the children don't come as one hopes. And God hears when the burden is so heavy and the concern is so big that you fast, just as Hannah did. God hears. John and Eliza were committed Christians and busy parents. Together they had 17 children, though only 8 lived past infancy. No doubt that was a hurt that Mother Eliza bore. She was a strong Christian and she prayed earnestly for her children. Her oldest son was a boy they had named Charles, and outwardly he knew how to behave well, but inwardly he knew he was quite the sinner. He later told this, he said, "I rebelled, I revolted, I struggled against God. When God wanted me to pray, I wouldn't pray. When God wanted me to listen to the sound of ministry, I would not. But when I did listen and a tear rolled down my cheek, I wiped it away and defied God to melt my soul here." That was what her oldest son, Charles, was like. But God began to do a work on him, and the work came through his mother. She was the kind of mother that prayed for them. She would gather them together at least one evening a week. She would open the scripture. She would go verse by verse through the scriptures with them and teach them the word of God. Evidently, she would then open some sort of devotional, rather strong devotional, read that to them, teach that to them, make pointed practical application to the lives of her kids, and then she would pray for their kid, for her kids. She would pray. She would, in her pointed applications, she would ask this question. She would ask the kids how long it would be before they would start thinking about their condition and they would really begin to seek the Lord with their lives. She had an evangelistic passion for her kids. She was pointed. Her son Charles later could recall one of the prayers that his mom prayed. Here's what she prayed in front of them. "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." He said it terrified him. He couldn't imagine his own mother bearing witness against his soul on the day of judgment here. He can remember another time in which mom just wrapped her arms around his neck and just prayed out to God right then. "God, oh that God, that my son might live before thee." Eliza was a mother that prayed. And listen, God hears. And in the hearts, we can pray so many different prayers, so many different kinds of praying, so many different ways of praying to God here, things that we can pray about, and God hears. But there's a third truth that I want you to see if you'll go back to Ruth. We've seen, first of all, that God cares and God hears. Would you take a moment and go back to Ruth? I want you to see this here. You're familiar with it, but let's have our eyes upon the Word of God here for a few more moments. Joshua judges Ruth. I'm turning there myself. Let's go this time to chapter 4, to the end of the story. Chapter number 4. Naomi was that mother that we referenced earlier. She had lost her husband. She had lost both of her adult married sons here. She has one daughter-in-law that comes back to Israel with her as she makes this trip. And as I look at the story, it seems very much that it's taking Naomi a long time to deal with the grief and the hurt that's there. The pain is deep. The pain is real that she is experiencing here. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, is a good girl. She goes out and begins to work, and in the process of providing for them, God brings across her path a good and a godly man that's interested in her. All of a sudden, it seems that Naomi snaps out of it and thinks, wow, the two of them could get together. And Naomi works to try to orchestrate that. And before long, the two of them are planning a wedding. They get married, and in a very short period of time, the appropriate period of time, Naomi now is a grandmother. What an exciting thing this is. Notice Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse to it. I'm going to pause there for a moment. And here, and in such an incredible thing, God changes things and God works an incredible miracle here. And now what had seemed to be such a dead end, now which had seemed to be such bitterness and such discouragement, God works in the way that only our good and our great God can do. And He changes and He works all of that through. And He gives Naomi this grandson through a daughter-in-law that they say is better than seven sons. Because number three, God plans. And His plans may be so much different than what we think. His plans maybe take us down roads that are different than what we anticipated. Or it could be that here we think that this should happen and tragedy strikes, but God can come up with plans and adjust those plans as well, as He did here in the book of Ruth. I don't know how long Naomi lived, but we come later to know the end of the story, verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, King David. And God had worked all of that out through something that seemed so tragic, through something that no doubt was great agony and great pain for a long time. God had plans, because God had a great King David that He was going to bring into the world. What an awesome and a wonderful and incredible thing that God did. Listen, I want you to realize that God may have a different plan than the one which we have. He may be giving us a no because He has something else in mind. And we patiently wait for God to show us His plans. We embrace those plans that are different than what He has for us. And maybe in this life, we'll never have the greatest and the fullest explanation. There seems to be several in Scripture that never had that explanation. But they trust that God was good enough and wise enough to work in those ways. Reagan is a married mother of three. Number four on the way at the end of the summer. Reagan's also a school teacher. And she loves to teach. She always has. And Reagan says she always will. It's a rewarding, one of the most rewarding jobs to be a teacher. And now she realizes, as she thinks about her child coming at the end of the summer, she realizes now that for a fourth time, she'll be taking that new little infant and she'll be placing it into the hands of someone else to care for it during the day while she teaches. She says, I want you to know it doesn't get any easier. Year in and year out, as I have to do this with my different children, it's not any easier. She talks about the times where she's had the pity parties and thinking about how she has to do this. There's been the times where she's wrestled with her own soul about it. There's been the times where she's wrestled with her spouse in regard to having to do this as well. And she agonizes, Reagan does, through this matter. And finally, Reagan came to the place where she finally, for the first time in her life, gave it all over to God completely and realized that His desires might be completely different than her desires for her life. She came to the full realization that He has a better plan laid out for her, one better than she could ever imagine for herself. And she said, I decided that I wasn't going to do that this fourth time around here. Instead, she had to go to God in prayer, constantly asking God for the strength to accept this different plan that God has for her family, for her life, for this new little one she's bringing into the world. And she just has to trust Him and trust God to satisfy her, even though it wasn't the initial path that she planned for. Because God has plans. But there's a fourth truth that I want you to see briefly, and I'll be done. And that's, if you care to turn in the back of the Bible, 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, such a great truth. This passage doesn't directly reference a mother or a child, but a great truth that I want you to see. God cares, God hears, God plans, and number 4, God remakes. God remakes. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And here in this passage, John writes to us about someone who claims to be a believer. That's why they're called a brother here. They claim to be a believer, but they sin. It's serious sin. It's ongoing sin like that of a wayward Christian. And this verse promises that we can go to God and pray and pray and pray, and God will give life. God will remake. God will revive. God will do a work in that person's life. God can do something in that life of that person. God can do something in the life of that mother. God can do something in my life as well. God can work. And I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter number 18, where he goes down to the potter's house and he sees there the potter working that clay vessel there on the potter's wheel. And the vessel that is being made there is marred in the hand of the potter. And so he takes it and he makes it again a new vessel. God remakes. What a joy it is to see how God can remake, how God can take one who maybe is going down the wrong path, and in answer to prayer, God can change that person's life and transform that person's life. We hold on to the promise of this verse. God gave us this promise, and we cling to it. Eliza prayed for her son, Charles, but Charles still did not turn to Christ. From ages 10 to 15, he would fret. He would labor over the state of his soul. Finally, one sunny Sunday morning, he wanders into a church. He hears the pastor preaching God's word, and Charles puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A short time later, he writes a letter to his mother. He says this, "Your birthday will now be doubly memorable, for on the third day of May, the boy whom you have prayed for so often, the boy of hopes and tears, your firstborn, will join the visible church of the redeemed on earth and will bind himself doubly to the Lord his God by open profession. You, my mother, have been the great means in God's hands of rendering me what hope I am." And thus Charles Haddon Spurgeon put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, went on to become a preacher and preach the gospel to thousands of people in his life. God hears, plans, He remakes. Mother's Day may not be that happy. It may hurt. No doubt for every mother, there are many days in everyday life in which the body just aches from exhaustion. The headache comes. The mind is racing here. The heart is throbbing about all sorts of different things. And perhaps there are some temporal things that a person can do. But the only way that you can make it through if it hurts on Mother's Day is to look at your father. The only way you can make it through when it hurts on Mother's Day is to look at your father. He cares and he hears and he plans and he remakes. And you have to give him all of your hurts. See, when it hurts, who are you looking at? Am I looking at a child that is disappointing? Am I looking at a mother that is disappointing? Am I looking at a dream that is disappointing? Am I looking at a God who is my Father, who cares about me? And we all have these struggles. It may be in other areas besides being a mother or a child or something like this, but we all have areas in which we struggle, in which we are hurt, and we have to constantly come back to the truth of God's Word, that God loves me, He cares about me, He hears me, He has plans for my life, and He can remake things that go astray, make things that aren't what they should have been to start with. God can do that, and I have to make the choice to look at my God and to find my satisfaction in God and to find my joy in God in that regard. Here. And today I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be taught the Word of God, and I want you to be encouraged in knowing that God cares about me and loves you. I want you to know that your pastor cares about you and has made an attempt to communicate that to you today, praying for you. And I want you to be challenged to act, to take the step to look to God and say, I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. When Mother's Day hurts, you have to look at your Father.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.